We're going to look at this particular sermon today. And the word is transformational. So if you were to type transformational into any MS Office application, it would give you a red line below that, because the word probably doesn't exist. Okay? Even as I was preparing for this talk, and I was asking God, like, what should we be discussing today? What God shared with me is something that, as much as I'm sharing with us, I've been first preaching to myself about it during this last 1 week. And it's something that I'm really excited about. And as much as I'm sharing it with us, it first applies to me. So the kind of community that we have at New City, where we are vulnerable and open to each other, if at any point of time you find me not being transformational, please tell me. Okay? Because as much as I'm sharing it with us, it first applies to me. You're probably wondering what transformational is all about. Don't worry, I'll help us walk through it. So most of us would have seen this one image. It's called the image of the Last Supper. It's one of the art pieces that is most widely displayed across the world. It was painted by the great painter Leonardo, and it's basically painted in this one convent in Italy. It's about, usually when we see this picture in people's houses, etc., it's a really small version, but the original is about 15 feet by 29 feet. Okay, so that's massive. It's a really interesting image. Before Leonardo painted this image, it was painted previously as well. But only when Leonardo painted it, did he really bring out the different kind of responses to people and different emotions in this particular image. So before he painted it, everybody painted it with stone, with faces that were basically emotionless. Only Leonardo painted it with everybody's emotions visible. So you might wonder, why do everybody's emotions need to be seen on this particular image? The reason being is, just before this scene is painted, Jesus has just told his closest buddies, also called his disciples, saying that, you know what, in a couple of hours, one of y'all is going to betray me. And everybody's like, what? Like, no, it can't be me. Okay? And so you can see everybody's so disturbed, and they're all discussing and wondering with each other, is it you? And you're like, no, how can you accuse me of that? It's no way going to be me. Okay? Somewhere in this picture are two people who betrayed Jesus. Okay? Today we're going to talk about one of them who betrayed him. And that was this guy over here, whose name was also Simon Peter. Okay? We're going to talk about one of Jesus' closest buddies, and his life and his relationship with the Lord Jesus. So to give you a bit of a background about Simon Peter, he was somebody, love him or hate him, you can't ignore him. Okay? He was brash, impulsive, he was in your face, he was a fisherman. Okay? And if any of us have traveled in the luggage compartment in the morning heading out of Churchgate station, you know how fishermen are. Okay? They are really in your face. And Simon Peter was somebody who was really in your face. And it's very interesting to see how God really took this guy who was so in your face and transformed his heart. So a couple of things that we're going to look at during today's talk is, we're going to look at some standout moments in Peter's life. We're going to take one incident, which is a very emotional incident between the Lord Jesus and Peter, and we're going to dissect that incident, which is basically the text that we're going to focus on later today. And then finally, I'm going to help us understand this call to be transformational. Okay. So before that, just join with me and we'll pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity today to get to know you more. We thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word. We pray that even as we discuss this topic, that we'll hear you speak to us. I pray for myself, Lord, that whatever I say, I'll speak first to myself. I'll preach it first to myself. And I pray that everything that I say will be led by you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great. So what I have for us is, I'm going to help us walk through this journey of Peter. I'm going to say whatever's going to come up here is only a graphical representation. Please don't read too much into it. Okay? I'm going to try and use a graph to help us understand the journey of Peter. But please don't plot his life and try and pull out any financial analysis out of it. Okay? So that's just something I wanted to say before we start. So like I said, Simon Peter was a fisherman, and one day he was with his brother, and they were just heading out to fish, and they had just cast their net into the water. And at that time, they had heard of this man called Jesus who was walking through the places close to where they were, and he was basically changing people's lives, and he was getting people to think very differently. And they had heard about this man. Okay, and they probably thought to themselves, I wonder if I'll ever get a chance to meet this guy. I wonder how it would be. And they had just cast their net into the sea. And then suddenly Jesus walks up and he's like, hey, Peter. And Peter looks back and he probably tells his brother, it's that same guy who we were talking about. He's calling us. And then Jesus turns to them and says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And Peter probably turns to his brother and says, that's a good play on words, fishers of men and fishermen, okay? But that's not what they do, okay? The Bible tells us that immediately they left their nets and they followed Jesus, okay? Today, if we are sitting in office and our boss says, okay, follow me, let's go for a meeting, we don't leave our desks and follow them. Most of us are shaking our heads because we don't do that. The first thing that comes to mind is why? Like, what's coming my way? Okay? But the Bible tells us that they immediately left their nets and followed them. And I want to say this is a big deal. And it takes courage to immediately leave what you're doing and follow somebody. And I remember for me, a couple of years ago, life was really going well. I was about to do my MBA. I had a good job. And suddenly God told me, leave all that you're doing. I have something else planned for you for the next 1 year. I didn't do it immediately. I remember for me, it was nearly a 2-week struggle of being able to let go of what I was doing. I literally came to a point of health problems. Okay, because I knew what I needed to do, but I didn't have the courage to do it. And so for me, I have to give props to Simon Peter and his brother for immediately leaving their nets and following Jesus. So they had a good start in their journey. We now look at an incident where basically Simon Peter had got to know the Lord Jesus well. They had spent a couple of years together. And there was this one incident where the Lord Jesus asked Simon Peter and the rest of the disciples, so who do you all think I am? You guys have been with me for a while. So who do you all think I am? And Simon Peter turns and says, I know you're the Messiah. I know you're the Savior. Okay? And the Lord Jesus says, wow, that's a brilliant revelation that you've got. And that can't be something that you figured out yourself. It's something that God has explained to you or God has told you about. And so Simon Peter's probably feeling really good about himself. And he's like, yeah, I'm the man. God's revealing stuff to me and all. And then suddenly, the next passage, the Bible tells us that immediately after the Lord Jesus gave Simon Peter props saying, you're doing well, the Lord Jesus begins to explain to his disciples saying, I've come here to be your Messiah, but not to pick up swords. I've come here to pick up my cross and to die for you all. And Simon Peter's like, hold on, man, that's not happening. If you're the Messiah, the only way Israel is going to be saved is with swords and guns. Okay, probably not guns that time, but definitely with swords. Okay, and basically, Simon Peter said, no, not happening. Let's have a talk. You and me, let's meet outside. Okay, and the Lord Jesus tells Simon Peter, I have come to give my life for you. and I will rise again. And if that's not acceptable to you, then you have a chance to walk away from all this. And suddenly Simon Peter, who had had the props just a few minutes ago, got rebuked by the Lord Jesus. He thought he was rebuking Jesus. Jesus turned the tables on him. And I was just thinking that even as we go to CBR, CBR is our community Bible reading plan where as a church all of us get together and we read a particular passage from the Bible and we ask God to speak to us about it and see what he wants to say to us about it. And it's so important that we realize that the things that God reveals to us is great, but it's so important for us to realize that it's to help us understand his character. It's to help us understand his plans for our lives. It's to help us understand the plans that he has for the city. Okay? And sometimes we might say that, wow, that's a great revelation. But God doesn't give us that revelation just to keep to ourselves. He gives us that revelation so that it can be a blessing to us. It can change us. It can help us to be a blessing to others. And I believe that even when Simon Peter told the Lord Jesus, you're the Messiah, he didn't take a moment back to step back and really interpret and say, what does this Messiah business mean? Okay, and suddenly when Lord Jesus says, this was my plan, he said, no, sorry, that doesn't work for me. Okay, and Lord Jesus had to really rebuke him. The next incident is when Peter betrays Jesus. And this is a really interesting one. And most of us would have seen the Passion of the Christ. Yeah. And there's this one scene where Jesus has been arrested. Jesus is basically in trouble. Everybody's anti-Jesus. And Peter walks into this place where everybody's accusing Jesus and saying, you're in trouble and you're basically messing around with the peace over here. And then people turn to Peter and say, hey, 1 minute, you were with him. And Peter's like, no, I wasn't with him. Are you kidding me? Why would I be with him? And so they're like, okay, maybe we made a mistake. And then Peter goes a little further ahead and somebody else turns and says, your accent is really similar to this guy's. You were with him, I'm sure. And Peter's like, are you kidding me? He's accused there. Why would I be with somebody who's accused? And then Peter walks away. And the third person walks up to Peter and says, dude, you were with him, right? And Peter's like, I'm cursed if I was with that guy. Okay? And suddenly, the Bible records for us that the cock crows 3 times. And Peter remembers that the Lord Jesus had told him a few hours ago that you're going to betray me when the cock crows 3 times. Okay? And when Jesus had told Peter that a few hours ago, Peter had said, Lord Jesus, I love you. I am not going to betray you. Like, no matter what these other guys do, I'm not betraying you. That's not happening. And then suddenly when Jesus is in trouble, everybody points to Peter and Peter's like, dude, I don't know him. And Passion of the Christ gets really dramatic about this scene. Okay? And it shows the cock crowing and it shows Jesus turned like this. Okay? And their eyes meet and Peter's like, oopsie. Okay? But I assure you that's probably not how it happened in the Bible. Jesus was just somewhere else. He was in deep trouble that time. There was probably no eye contact between Jesus and Peter. Okay? But this is the point where I believe was one of Peter's lowest points in his life. But only because of what God could do for Peter, Peter could rise. And by the end of the sermon, you're going to see Peter going from here to somewhere there. Okay? I think the story is really interesting because like I said, Peter betrayed Jesus, but there was somebody else called Judas who also betrayed Jesus. Okay? And both of them betrayed Jesus, and the reason being both of them didn't like Jesus' plan. But that's where the comparison ends. When Judas had executed his plan, he couldn't deal with the guilt of what he had done. He went and hung himself or committed suicide. But the Bible is so clear about what Peter did. When Peter realized what he had done, the Bible records for us, it's saying Peter wept bitterly because he realized he had let down his best friend. He had let down his best buddy. And for me, these two words matter more than anything else that Peter did in this whole story, where he wept bitterly. I pray for all of us that when we are at this stage and we are struggling and we mess up, that when we realize that we messed up, we are weeping bitterly, not out of guilt, but out of repentance and a desire to make things right. And when Peter was weeping over there and saying, "Oh man, I messed up, I shouldn't have done this," it wasn't a weeping saying, "It's all over for me, that's it." It was more a weeping saying, "If only I get a chance to make this right." He didn't go and hang himself. He said, "There has to be a way for me to make this right." And that's what we're going to look at next. So after the Lord Jesus had that whole, Peter betrayed Jesus, the Bible records for us that the next day Jesus was crucified. And that was a Friday. And then the Bible records for us that on Sunday morning, a couple of the women who the Lord Jesus considered as friends wanted to go and embalm his body. And at that time, embalming a body was something that was done very regularly, basically to ensure that the body lasted for longer. And they went to embalm the body. And when they reached the tomb where the Lord Jesus had been laid in, they found that his body wasn't in the tomb. And they were shocked. They were like, "How?" And so they run and tell Peter. And they tell Peter, "You know what? His body's not there." And Peter's like, "Are you kidding me? Really, his body's not there?" So that means two things. Either somebody's stolen his body, or he's actually risen again. Okay? And Peter's like, "This is my moment of redemption. This is the moment where I can make all this right. I can go and tell Jesus, 'Jesus, I'm sorry, I messed up, please forgive me.'" And so the Bible records for us saying that Peter runs to the tomb and he's like, "This is my moment of redemption. I hope the Lord Jesus is there. I want to tell him I'm sorry. I want to make it right with him." And it's really interesting that the same Peter who was running away from the Lord Jesus is now running to see where the Lord Jesus is. He knew that if he was caught running to find the Lord Jesus, he would probably be in a lot more trouble now than he would have been there. But something happened between this time and this time that changed Peter. There was only one thing that happened between these two moments in Peter's life, and that was seeing Jesus hanging on the cross. And I imagine between these two moments when Peter sees Jesus hanging on the cross and he says, "This guy was right. He said that he was going to die for me. And apparently he really has." And he's like, "This guy has healed people. It could have been so easy for him to get himself off the cross. But he stuck to what he told us he was going to do." For me, the only plausible reason that could take Peter from being a betrayer to one running to Jesus could have been what happened when Peter saw the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, the greatest sign of love that humanity has ever seen. Seeing Jesus hang on the cross, it transformed Peter from being a betrayer to saying, "Whatever the cost, I need to make it right with the Lord Jesus." And I was just thinking and I was saying, I know Jesus died for me as well. If the cross transformed Peter that much, what's the impact of the cross on my life? And I spent some time evaluating this. And these are a few thoughts that came to my mind. Number one is, how much of my security in life comes from the fact that Lord Jesus loves me enough to die for me? Today, if my wife doesn't accept me, it affects me so much. But that's because the basis of my security somehow is not the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for me. The second impact that the cross should have on me is knowing that the Lord Jesus had to die to pay the price for my sin. It moves me to a place of saying, I can't accept sin in my life. If he paid the price to die for it, that means sin is something that's not cool. And it's something that I shouldn't be able to accept at all. The next thing is, how much can I trust God through my difficult times, which we all go through? Okay? How much can I trust God in my difficult times? That knowing that I'm going through a difficult time, knowing that he's gone to the worst time possible. Okay, they've said that the cross is the worst way to die ever. Okay, and if the Lord Jesus died that kind of death, he'll be able to empathize with everything that I'm going through. Okay, and that's the third thing that I really felt the cross impacts my life. Knowing how much I'm loved by God, knowing how much I should not accept sin, and knowing how much he's going to strengthen me even through difficult times. And then we have what we're going to look at, a focus on a little bit today, which was the moment where Peter got transformational. Okay? So I'm going to read this passage with us, and it's going to come up on the screen here, and I'll just help us read through it. So it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Simon's reply was, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus' reply was very interesting. He said, if you love me, feed my lambs. Okay? And that's a wow moment for me. Okay? Because this is basically the first personal experience between the Lord Jesus and Peter after Peter betrayed Jesus. This was the first one-on-one encounter that they had. And it's so interesting where when the first time the Lord Jesus meets Peter after the betrayal, he doesn't ask Peter, hey, why did you betray me? His first question to Peter was, Peter, do you love me? And if somebody betrays me and I meet them the next time, I am not asking them, do you love me? I'm going to be like, dude, you let me down. Okay? But the Lord Jesus was, Peter, do you love me? Christ wasn't taunting Peter about Peter's betrayal. Christ was reminding Peter of the commitment Peter had previously made to follow Christ. Okay? And Peter's response was so interesting where Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. How would the Lord Jesus know that Peter loved him when Peter had just betrayed him? Like, that just doesn't make sense. Okay? And this is so interesting that the Lord Jesus, that Peter would say this. And I believe that when Peter saw Jesus hanging on the cross, he realized that this guy loves me more than anything else. And as he saw Jesus hanging on the cross, he finally understood that the Lord Jesus was sovereign and that everything that he wanted to say to Jesus, he could say to Jesus even while Jesus was hanging on the cross, even in the quietness of his heart, knowing that the Lord Jesus would still know what he's saying And I believe that even as Peter saw the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, he understood the relationship that he had with the Lord Jesus. And I believe that at that point when Peter saw Jesus on the cross, he said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me, I messed up." And the next time when Peter met the Lord Jesus, Peter says to Jesus, "Jesus, you know I repented. You know I asked your forgiveness on the cross. You know it all." And Jesus' response was, "If you love me," he didn't say, "don't betray me again." He says, "Since you say that you love me, since you say that you've repented, since you say that you're changing, since you're saying that you're transformed, go feed my lambs." And for me, even as I was preparing for this message, and I read that, that's the point where I broke down. And I was like, the Lord Jesus transforms us. That's amazing. Okay? It's only because of God's work in Peter's life that Peter could even have the confidence to say to God, "You know that I love you. You know I've already repented. You know you're working in my life. You know you're changing me." And the Lord Jesus' response was, "Even as I'm changing you, go be a blessing to each other." This is what we call transformational. Okay? Even as the Lord Jesus transforms us, he transforms us to be a blessing to the city of Mumbai. He allows us to be a part of his plan to ensure that greater things are done in the city of Mumbai, even as we discussed today. Okay? And it's so interesting that after this, again Jesus says, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And again Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. You know I'm transformed." And again, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this time Peter was hurt. Suddenly he grows a conscience or whatever. Okay, and he's like, "Jesus, this is not happening. Like, I answered you twice. Now you're hurting me." Okay? And he says, "Lord, you know all things." Basically, he was saying, "Lord, you know the transaction that I had with you. You know I asked for your forgiveness." And again, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And it's so interesting that in literature at that time, if they wanted to emphasize anything, we usually say great, greater, greatest. They said holy, holy, holy. Basically, something was said three times to emphasize the highest amount of importance to it. And Jesus was doing this here, where he's like, it's so important that if you're transformed, you go be a blessing to other people. I believe that even as Peter was deeply transformed, it resulted in Peter being deeply missional, or a desire to be a blessing to others around. And I'm just worshiping the Lord Jesus that even as he asked me to be missional, he was first missional to me on the cross. Even as he asked me to lay down my priorities for others, he laid down his life for me. He's our role model when it comes to being missional. And it's very interesting that not only was Peter transformed, the Bible records for us that all the other disciples, barring Judas, were also transformed. And they all went out and they all were missional and they all transformed the state and the area that they were in. I'm so blessed by the series that we've been doing on the flaws of man and the grace of God. It's been such a blessing to me. It's changing me. And then even as I was thinking about that, Jesus spoke to me and he said, "You're being changed, but for a reason, to go be missionary." Okay? And that was something that really blessed me. Now you might say, okay, so Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." So what did Peter do as a result of this? And the Bible records for us that Peter went on to become an apostle, somebody who really reached out and was a blessing to people around. And interestingly, Peter's life ended with martyrdom towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody who over here betrayed Jesus, he probably would have got jailed here. He wouldn't have got killed. But the Lord Jesus transformed him to the extent that he was ready to lay down his life. But in the middle of that, Peter was the biggest blessing in that area, in that time. Okay? Basically, Peter was transformation. Okay? And it's very interesting because, I'll just hop back here, it says, even at the end of their whole discussion, the Lord Jesus tells Peter, this is my plan for your life. Where at the end of it, I'm going to take you to places where you never thought you would go. And when you grow old, people are going to stretch your hands out and take you where you do not want to go. And the Bible says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said, follow me. In all that the Bible tells us about the relationship between Jesus and Peter, the first thing Jesus told Peter was follow me. And the last thing Jesus told Peter was also follow me. Okay? And it's very interesting where the Bible later records for us that the first public confession about Christ was by Peter. Okay? He was the pillar of the first church. And like Jesus said, Peter was crucified. But being the wacko that Peter was, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ. Crucify me upside down. Okay? That's the extent that Peter was transformation. And I was just worshiping God and I was like, Lord, look at Peter. It's so awesome what you did for him. And I believe God's speaking to me and he's speaking to us and he's saying, if I can take a brash fisherman and change him into a world changer and make him into a martyr, then I can do the same for you. And it's not that Jesus is asking us to be martyrs. Okay? I'm not trying to say that. But I believe that the Lord Jesus is saying that I'm changing you so that you can go and be a blessing and help others change as well. This is something that came to me really powerfully, that when I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready for missions. Okay, Lord, use me. And the Lord Jesus says, you need to be faithful and you need to be faithful, or basically full of faith. Okay? And I believe that this is one thing that God really wants to say to us today, that it's great to say, okay, Lord Jesus, I'm on, but here's the cost. Okay? It doesn't come cheap. I'm just going to end by saying that even as I was preparing today morning, and I was saying, Lord, use me, and the thought immediately cropped up to my mind saying, are you changed enough? Are you changed enough to go and be missionary? And I believe that that may be a thought that's coming to all of us. And I believe that even as we are thinking of this, God is saying that there is no timeline in which you have to be changed enough to go and be missionary. We were talking about Zacchaeus the other day at Gap Group. And his life was changed. And the next minute he says, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be missionary. And then there was this Samaritan woman who basically, she was in a mess. And she had this discussion with Jesus. Her life was changed. And the Bible records for us and says that immediately she went and she told everybody else, you know what, the Lord Jesus has changed me. I believe that God takes our skills, our talents, our personalities. He doesn't want to change our personality type. He wants to change our heart. And God used Peter's brashness, boldness, in-your-face character and nature, but he used it for his own plans and purposes. And for me, that was such a blessing, knowing that God Jesus changes my heart, but he uses my characters and uses my traits just as I am.